Well, here goes. My working title was Family Matters, and it was just there on the computer when I started. You know, you've got to put something there so when you save it, you can actually find it again. Otherwise, it disappears into the ether, and I'm not very good at finding them. Oh, that's it. So we started off with Family Matters, and it wasn't until Claire emailed me and asked if I had a title for my message this evening, and I thought, oh, I don't know that I have. And then I thought, oh, I'll send Family Matters, because that's what's on the top of my piece of paper. And it was then that I realised, actually, that family matters can be taken two ways. So tonight I will be talking about matters concerning family, the godly family, God's family. But also, it made me realise that actually family matters. It really does matter being part of a family. And I've been quite challenged by that. So tonight we're going to reflect on a passage from Ephesians 2, 19 to 22, which I'll read to you now. So then you are no longer strangers and aliens, but you are fellow citizens with the saints, honour of God's household, having been built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Christ Jesus himself being the cornerstone, in whom the whole being fitted together, is growing into a holy temple in the Lord, in whom you also are being built together into a dwelling place of God in the Spirit. A lot in that passage, and I hope to unpack a little bit as we go along, but just a little thoughts about family. I don't know what sort of family you come from, but on the next slide, you will see that my own family was pretty disjointed. It didn't have close relationships. And even today, my one remaining sister and I don't really communicate very much at all. In fact, I've not communicated with her. Oh, I did have a Christmas card from her husband, but I have not actually spoken to my sister since her 70th birthday last September. And that was after another long period. And I saw her then, which was the first time for 4 years. So we're not a close family, my extended family. And that's just the way it is. And I think it's a result probably of our childhood. But I didn't want that experience for my own children or my grandchildren. And nothing delights me more than having my family around me. I was once told that I couldn't have children, and Andy and I have been blessed with 3 wonderful children, and we now have 3 grandsons. And I love watching them play. We did have a day over Christmas when we were all together. And it's such a delight seeing the boys playing together. And it just struck me as we were worshipping, you know, that must be the little bit of delight I feel when my family are around me and are happy and everything's great. But God delights in us, doesn't he? He delights in us as his family, as his children, just so much. And I'm sure tonight he was looking down on delight as we worshipped him and focused on him. And it just made me, just thinking about my own family, how much that means. Because a healthy family is a united family. My own family that I grew up in wasn't a healthy family, but the family that I have, Andy and I have now around us, is a family with unity. We have our disagreements, as all families do, but a family that works together with a common purpose has shared characteristics. See, I've also benefited over the years of being part of another family, the church family, a family I joined when I became a Christian, when I committed my life to Jesus. And, you know, that was just so, so, so crucial to me. And I don't think I would be standing here today. Well, I wouldn't be standing here today, but I don't think I'd even be existing today if I hadn't made that commitment when I was 18. I'm looking at Andy because we started going out when I was 19, because he waited until I became a Christian, because he was quite pious in those days. So we had to wait for a little while I found my way. And it's that church family. And I've been in lots of church families because we've moved around a lot. And so I've been in lots of different church families, and church families are fluid, aren't they? You know, we're a meeting tonight, and this group of people of God's family may never meet again as this part of his family. But that doesn't matter, does it? It's just being part of God's family, because that is just so important. And being part of God's family doesn't just happen. It doesn't just happen. It's something that does require a little bit of effort and work as well as just being sat together in the same room. In the passage that I've just read from Ephesians 2, Paul starts with the word so or therefore. And there's that classic phrase, isn't it? When you see a therefore, it's there for some reason. Paul has said something before that is important to his therefore. And Paul has been reminding the Ephesian Christians what they were like before Jesus saved them. Now, I don't know when that was for you, but I can look back to what I was like before Jesus saved me, and he had a lot of work to do. I was, I was an interesting teenager, and God has worked an amazing work in my life. But all of us were lost and separated from God before we made that commitment. Jesus saved them and he brought new life. God has brought new life to those that have turned to him. Not because of what we've done, not because of what they've done, but purely because of his grace. And now, because of God's grace, Paul is saying that they're part of a household. We are part of God's household because of his love and grace for us. In verse 19, he tells them they're fellow citizens with the saints and the household of God. Part of the house of God, part of his family, brought into his family, this wonderful new family called the church. And that's where the therefore comes in, because Christ has saved them, Christ has saved you, Christ has saved me. We're brought into his family and the church, and because of that, we show certain characteristics of being in his family. And that's exciting thing about being part of a family. I have a picture of my family. They'll kill me for that picture, particularly the youngest wearing the sunglasses, because she really hates that picture. But there we go. It's the best one I could find of the three of them, taken about just over a year ago, 18 months ago. There you go. The Oracle, August 2017. My three beautiful children. Rebecca, the eldest, is the shortest. Jonathan comes next. He's huge, and I'm sure he's still growing. He's absolutely enormous. And Anna is a female Andy. Scary. Not a Christian, so not even modified. But she is a female Andy, and it's very interesting. You see, our children have our characteristics. They have our looks. They say that Rebecca and I look quite similar. And Anna and Andy are the same build, you know, that you could kill her, that, you know, she's tall and skinny. She has a 35-inch inside leg, which is a lot of leg for a young lady. But they've also inherited, some of our negative things as well. Rebecca, poor soul, has inherited the fact that she suffers from anxiety and worries a bit from her mother. I'm quite convinced, and Anna has inherited her assertiveness from her father. Jonathan is sort of a mould of both of us, which is quite interesting. It's hard to pick out. I think he's come together as quite a rounded young gentleman. But you see, we show characteristics. And the thing is, if we're part of God's family, we should be showing the characteristics of being part of God's family. We should be displaying that if we are part of that family. And you see, the thing with God is you can only inherit good things from God. He doesn't have the temper, he doesn't have the anxiety, he doesn't have the worry, he doesn't feel unlovable and all the things that we feel. He doesn't feel rejected, he doesn't feel inadequate. So we should be inheriting the characteristics of God as part of his family. And I want to look at three of those characteristics of being part of God's family tonight. The first characteristic is that God's family is built on a firm foundation. when we're part of the family of God, we're built on a foundation. And if you remember back to the Sermon on the Mount, and there's this wonderful illustration, I don't like using the word story, but an illustration of the houses, one built on the rock and one built on the sand. And I was thinking, I can't help but think about the song, you know, the rains came down and the floods came up, rains came down and the house on the sand fell splat, which I used to enjoy as a Sunday school child. But see, why did Jesus tell that story? Why is that story there? It's a lovely story. It makes a very good Sunday school lesson, very good activities. There's lots of things you can do. But why is it there? It's not to teach us about building techniques. I'm quite convinced about that. It isn't a guide of how to build your house. It's about something a bit more, isn't it? It's saying that if we just hear the words and don't do anything with it, we're building our lives on a sandy foundation. And when something happens, when the trials and troubles come along, we crash. Because we've not taken hold of God's word. And it's not made a difference in our lives. I've often found that there have been times when God has seemed very distant in my life. And I've had to hold on to what I know is the truth. I think sometimes we depend too much on our feelings, how we feel. You know, I don't feel God, I don't feel this, I don't feel that. But what do you know? What do we know? And that's going back to God's word. And if you don't spend time in God's word, you won't know. Because you've only got in here what you've in your head, what you've put in there. So it's important to take hold of God's word and allow it to change and mould you into the image of Christ. And if you're doing that, you're building your life on a rock solid foundation. And I'm just glad that I've been able to do that. Greatly encouraged by Mother Teresa. Mother Teresa said that she had this tremendous call from God, didn't she, to go to India. But if you read some of her memoirs and things, she never really felt God's presence again like she did then. And look what amazing things that lady did. Because she didn't rely upon how she felt. She relied on her knowledge of who God is and what it means. You see, Paul is here saying that we're part of the family God, we build our lives on the foundations of the apostles and the prophets. They're the ones who wrote the scriptures, aren't they? They're there. And the scripture is there for one purpose. And that's the point the way to Jesus. Because Jesus is the focus of the Bible from cover to cover. Jesus is predicted throughout the Old Testament. He's predicted in the Old Testament. In the Gospels, he's revealed. In the Acts, he's preached. In the Epistles, he's explained. And in Revelation, we have Jesus expected. The apostles and the prophets wrote the Bible, and they wrote to tell us about the chief cornerstone, Jesus. The Bible is the rock-solid foundation on which we should build our lives. When people look at you, when people look at me, where do they see our foundations? What have we built our lives upon? Can they tell that you're a child of God? Excuse me. Can they tell that you're a child of God? Do they know that? What characteristic are you showing of being part of the family of God? What have you built your foundations on? A big challenge. The second characteristic is that the family of God is built with a design. Ephesians 2:21. When we're part of God's family, we're built with a design. It's not an accident that you're here this evening. I used to panic in Wales. Now, Sunday evening congregations were small, and usually the same people came on a Sunday evening, but they could be really small, and if the weather was bad, they could be minute. And you'd have spent hours preparing a message. And I'd sit there and I think, good grief, there's only about four of them. And I know two of them are going to go to sleep because they always do. Why have I put all this effort into producing something, and who's going to hear it? But I learnt that more often than not, the people who were supposed to be there, they were the ones that were there, and there was a word within the evening that was important to them. And I came to learn that if there was one person out there that God spoke to, then it was worth all the preparation and it was worth all the effort, because God wanted to meet with that person. You see, God has created us and we're all unique. This has come out a lot. I listened to the last Sunday morning's vision message, and you've mentioned it tonight about the jigsaw pieces, about being unique. And that's exciting. That is really exciting that God is unique. I once asked God, in one of my better moments, I once asked God why I'd been born into the family I'd been born into, because it wasn't a particularly wonderful experience as I was growing up. You know, why did you put me here? Why did I have to suffer this? Why did this happen? Why did that happen? And I can see him up there now, just letting me have my little rant. And then very clearly, he said to me, I needed you. I had a plan and a purpose for you. And the only place where you would be you was within that family. Because I needed that mum and that dad to be me. And therefore, and he carried on to say, then my grace is sufficient. My grace is sufficient. I can overcome every pain and hurt that you've experienced in your life. It's been a long journey and probably isn't finished. We have our wobbles, as probably most people do. And we slip back into the woe me situation. But God wanted me because he had a purpose for me. God wanted you because he had a purpose for you. It's not random. He has a job and a purpose for each one of us. He's given us different gifts and different talents. And he's put us together with other people so that we can work together, grow together, stand together, support each other, so that we can be stronger together. So that we can be united, joined together in a common purpose. Sorry, I'm going to cough again. You see, each of us is individually chosen as a building block, part of that jigsaw puzzle. And a jigsaw puzzle is incomplete if one piece is missing, isn't it? You see, God chose you to be part of the church, the universal church and the local church, his local church family. The question is, are you allowing yourself to be used as one? Are you a building block within God's church? Can people look at your life and see how you fit as part of God's church? See, the challenge as well this morning and from last week was, what is your purpose? What are you going to do? What's the challenge? What challenge has God got for you? How do you fit in to the work and ministry of God's church? If you're in the family of God, you're built and designed to fit into his church. If you're part of Welton Baptist Church, you're designed to fit as part of that church and to have a role to play. You're built on a foundation and you're built with a design and you're built with a purpose. Many years ago, I came across this, it's not really a poem, but this reading, and some of you will probably have heard it, but I'd like to read it tonight, and I've put it on the screen as well. In all the world, there is nobody like you. Since the beginning of time, there has never been another person like you. Nobody has your smile, your eyes, your hands, your hair. Nobody owns your handwriting, your voice. You're special. Nobody can paint your brushstrokes. Nobody has your taste for food or music or dance or art. Nobody in the universe sees things as you do. In all time, there has never been anybody who laughs in exactly your way and makes you laugh or cry or think. Many may, and what makes you laugh or cry or think may cause a totally different response in another. So you're special. You're different from another person who has ever lived in history. You're the only one in the whole creation who has your particular set of abilities. There is always someone who is better at one thing or another than you. But no one has your combination of talents and feelings. Through all eternally, no one will ever walk, talk, think, or do anything exactly like you. You're special. You're rare. And in all rarity, there is enormous value. And because of your great value, the need for you to imitate anybody else is absolutely unnecessary. You're special. And it's no accident you are. Please realize God made you for a special purpose. He has a job for you to do as well as you can. Out of billions of applicants, only one is qualified. Only one has the new, unique and right combination of what it takes. And that one is you. That, for me, was a big challenge. A big challenge. God has a plan and a purpose for each one of us that only we can fulfill. Only we have the right characteristics, the right talents, the right gifts. No one else can do that job better than us. Other people can do it, but it's God's design for your life. What is it? What is God's design for your life right now? What is his plan and purpose for you right now? Because the third characteristic that comes out of this passage is that the family of God is built with a purpose. Ephesians 2:22. When we're part of the family of God, we are built for a purpose. Everyone here was built for one purpose and one purpose only. As a matter of fact, every person who has ever lived was created for one purpose and one purpose only. To bring honour and glory to God Almighty. To bring honour and glory to God Almighty. If we're part of the family of God, we fulfil our purpose by being a dwelling of God in the Spirit. In other words, God lives in us. When we believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, when we believe he died for our sins so we wouldn't have to, when we believe that he rose again and is victorious over sin and death and hell, when we believe that he lives today seated at the right hand of the Father, making intercession for us, when we believe that he's coming again to rule and reign forever, when we believe we are saved, he adopts us into his family. We become his children and his Spirit lives in us. Paul says in 1 Corinthians 6:19, "Do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have from God, and that you're not your own?" We are the dwelling of the Holy Spirit if we've invited Jesus into our lives with a purpose to bring honour and glory to God. So my question tonight is, how are you, how am I fulfilling God's purpose in my life, in your life? Are you fulfilling it by allowing the Holy Spirit to have control in your life? It's a challenge. When we went to Wales, when Andy went into ministry in Wales, I was very adamant to Andy that there were two things I was not going to do when we went to Wales. One was I was not going to do any more children's work, in particular holiday clubs. I'd done them for years and I was not going to run a mums and toddlers. I'd done that since my daughter was born and my eldest daughter was born, and enough was enough. The other thing I was not going to do was any women's work. I didn't want to do women's work. I'd done a bit of that and no, it wasn't really me. But you see, God has a sense of humour, doesn't he, really? And he listened very intently to my requests. And very, very quickly, I was family and children's coordinator for the church, doing mums and toddlers and holiday clubs. I didn't do Sunday school. Messy church, and on it went. And leading a ladies' Bible study. And doing retreat days for ladies and things like that, and everything else that I really didn't think I wanted to do. but I had tremendous blessing through it and built tremendous relationships through it. You also open up the doors to lots of other things as well. But you see, the question is, I could have said, no, I'm not doing that. That's not what I want to do. But when we went to Wales, to the little church in Wales, the chapel in Wales, there was a big hole. There was a big hole, and God wanted me to fill that hole, because at that time there was no one else ready to do it. What was exciting was 10 years later, as we were leaving, there was someone to fill that hole. And it's been exciting because we still get, you know, Facebook, everyone's world, isn't it? So we still see and hear what's happening up in Wales. And things have grown. The person that I nurtured to hand over the baton to has taken things further and bigger. They had, 50 children and 30 adults at their last messy church. We used to get excited if we got 10 children, you know. I mean, it's at one stage. It's just grown. But maybe that wouldn't have happened if I hadn't allowed God to lead me where he wanted me to go rather than where I wanted to go. If you're part of God's family, are you building your life on his word? Do you allow it to mould you? You see, it can only work in our lives if we actually read it. And I used to read through the Bible every year. And I did it for many, 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 many years. And then I realised that actually I was just reading through the Bible in a year, because that was the challenge. And I'd done it lots of different ways with lots of different prompts. And so I spent a few years not doing it and doing other approaches to reading my Bible. And then this, because I'm who I am, I decided in August that I'd read the Bible through in a year. So I'm currently in June or July at the moment, which is quite nice. The weather isn't quite the same, but that's where I am. And it's been a fresh experience. And because I've come to it fresh, I've been asking God to reveal, as I read his word, what is it that he wants me to pick out for today? And I just read about my what's it from this morning a week or two ago. So that was quite exciting, because I'd been there. I knew what you were talking about. But allowing God to reveal things to us, because as we've become Christians for a long time, sometimes we just read, don't we? We just read. And it's important to allow God to speak to us. So we need to be moulded in the image of Christ, and to do that we need to hear his word. And we need to allow ourselves to fit into the work and the ministry of his church. To fit in, find out where you fit, find out what it is that God wants you to do. It may be something totally different from what you've always done. Because sometimes we always do what we always do because it's what we've always done. But maybe God's asking you to step out and do something totally different. Are you allowing the Holy Spirit to control every aspect of your life? And if you're not part of God's family, if you've not made that commitment and been adopted into his family, do that today. If, like the Philippian jailer, you're asking the question, what must I do to be saved? I give you the same answer that Paul gave him. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you will be safe. Belief recognises Jesus for who he is and who you are. If you're not part of God's family, please take that step. Talk to someone. And if you are part of God's family, talk to God, talk to Jesus, and ask him what challenges he has for you as we move into 2019. Amen.